As we've said, our theme for this month for worship has been promises. And last week I said that making big promises, or one might say making the biggest organizing promises, is what faith communities do. They say and affirm that, yes, life is like this, or God is like this, or the universe is like this. See this pattern and wholeness in the chaos and mystery of existence? One of the verses said, the chaos and the clutter. You can count on it, and you can order your life as if it is so. There is a felt sense of how life really is, or how it ought to be. We can't prove it necessarily, but our experience and the experience of those who have gone before us confirm this. Faith communities where faith is about a larger meaning and intuiting life as a whole, as a related wholeness with comfort and challenge. Faith communities help us affirm how to feel at home in the cosmos, how to make our home in this universe. I've been using Sharon Park's book, Big Questions, Worthy Dreams, mentoring young adults in their search for meaning, purpose, and faith. I've been using it as my text, as it were, because it's one of my personal scriptures, one of those pieces of writing that I visit over and over again. I talked from her chapter section, Faith as Primal Force of Promise, the promise of a rudimentary sense of trustworthy pattern, connection, wholeness, and relation, a sense of ultimate environment that intends our good. Parks goes on to capture this sense with the metaphor of home. It has been said that home is the most powerful word in the English language. It is where we start from. It is what we aspire to. To be at home is to have a place in the scheme of life, a place where we are comfortable, know that we belong, can be who we are, and can honor, protect, and create what we truly love. Faith, she says, is a quality of human living that at its best takes the form of a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe. To be deeply at home in the world, she says, is to dwell in a worthy faith. Then in the next paragraph, she reminds us that the worthy faith is meaning that deepens and holds even in the face of disappointments and broken promises. Again and again, we undergo the loss of our most cherished patterns of meaning and anchors of trust as we discover their insufficiency. Not every month, not every year, but in every day. In the ups and downs of daily life, we experience an ongoing dialogue between fear and trust, hope and hopelessness, power and powerlessness, alienation and belonging. Yet we learn that though the forms of faith are finite, the promise is kept every day, throughout the day, over and over. Rebecca Parker, president of Star King School for the Ministry, frames the promise that is kept as the covenant or promise we are already in. That is, the relational promises we are already living in. And she holds up three things: the gift of life, the gift of the earth that sustains life, and the gift of one another. Our promise in this relationship is then to do our part in the covenant and promise of loving and caring for one another. And what is our part? It is to love, to engage life and love for life and love. As I wrote last fall, it's inevitable that we will not do our part at times. Or maybe I should say it's inevitable that I won't, because I know you will. And you'll let me know when I don't. No. I mean, but that's sort of serious in the sense of how we relate to other people. But remembering that it's inevitable that we will not do our part at times, we think of the practice of entering into promises about being, about making and keeping those promises. But Martin Buber, who wrote that phrase, the promise-making, promise-breaking, promise-renewing animal named three parts, and only one-third is promise-making. Two-thirds of who we are concerns promise-breaking and promise-renewing. So perhaps you're not being perfect in breaking promises. You may be just being human, perfectly human. To do our part in the covenant we are already in and engage life and love for life and love, we must constantly practice renewing our promises. Yes, our promise is to love, but it also has to be to promise to love over and over again. The practice of making promises then must also be the practice of facing the reality and disappointment of breaking promises. Breaking a promise does not have to be a break with ourselves or our promise to ourselves, as ourselves. I've shared how in the wedding ceremony, which is one of the highest profile promises or promise-making moments that we have, I remind the couple that what they are doing, quote, is an act of tremendous hope and faith, not the naive expectation that your life will be trouble-free, but the resilient, deeply rooted faith that you will not give up on each other. Resilient. Resilient. There's the word I was looking for to go with those promises that make up our lives. Resilient. Deeply rooted faith. Resilient. Deeply rooted promises that can stand being broken, that can stand the criticism, that can keep coming back. We have to be resilient promise breakers if we are to live as resilient promise makers. For life and love. We must be able to bounce back in the face of pressures that would have us be otherwise. So the language is for weddings is probably good language to speak for ourselves. Then we can think of every day as an act of faith in ourselves. Not the naive expectation that the day will be trouble-free, but the resilient, deeply rooted faith that we will not give up on ourselves and our promises. If we are to be at home in the universe, we have to learn to be at home in and with ourselves, this self that is by nature a promise-breaking animal. And the way to do this, that is to love ourselves and to keep loving ourselves, is to practice what Reinhold Niebuhr in our reading for last week, number 461, called the final form of love. What did he say that was? The final form of love? I'll forgive you for not remembering that. That's a bit of a hint. 461, it's forgiveness. How does that work? The final form of love is forgiveness. He says that is what keeps us grounded in the love of the universe, being able to be forgiven and loved and loving again. The reading moves from the bigger circle of hope into faith, into the closer into love, and then into forgiveness, which is both an inward and an outward move. Last night, I participated on a panel at Agudas Israel with Rabbi Cohen and Reverend Jane Nelson of MCC Sacred Journey Church, in which we presented and discussed our tradition's approaches to social justice. It was part of a service leading up to the Jewish High Holy Days, which begin on Wednesday night, by the way. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur focus on what? Forgiveness. There you go. And getting back to right relationship with life and love and God. Broken promises are faced and forgiven and new ones made. Life becomes home again. Home again. Once more for the new year. And in a side conversation, Phil and I have a few side conversations. As part of the reflections brought about by this time of the year, we discuss that inward and outward nature of forgiveness. Outward to forgive others and inward to forgive ourselves. We talked about promises kept and broken, and we also talked about what might be thought of as a middle move, which is then to ask for forgiveness. But that's a discussion for another time and sidebar. Back to this mix of promises. About 3 weeks ago, I felt and lived the full mix. It was late night. I was tired and I was feeling low, generally. I was in the losses and the ups and downs of daily life, and they were deeper than usual. The last couple of days, I'd been living that dialogue between fear and trust, hope and hopelessness, power and powerlessness, alienation and belonging. I thought I was doing okay, but at that time of night, it was too much. It had become too much and settled in. I was feeling hurt and alone, lost, and some scared. My brain wouldn't let go of what I might have done wrong. I kept thinking about what I could have done and might do differently. I then went global and I worried about my future. I then moved to old age and health and money. I was ungrounded and miserable. I was feeling helpless. You want to add any others that I haven't named to that list? To say I was feeling doesn't capture how it was in me and just there. I was searching outside myself for answers and ways to get it right. Let us just say that I was not feeling a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe. Then I remembered to breathe. I remembered mindfulness and the promise of mindfulness, which says, what do? Focus on your breath. And what will it do? It'll return you to yourself. It'll return you to the moment. The promise of practice of mindfulness makes that statement. It'll bring you back to yourself. And as I focused on my breath, a promise I had made to myself came back to me. In that calm, the promise to love myself. It was as if my prayer was being answered and I didn't know I had even said one. But how could I love myself in this moment? I hadn't even asked that question when a recognition came to me, one that embraced love and forgiveness all at the same time. It said, wait, you are a parent. This is something you know in your bones. You know how to be present to this moment. You know how to take care. So take care of you. Be a parent to this boy who is scared. Secure the home for him and let him know the dark is safe this time. For me, the job of parenting at its best is charged with the creation of what? That rudimentary sense of trustworthy pattern, wholeness, and relation. A sense of an ultimate environment that intends our good. It returned me from the chaos and clutter of broken promises to the larger promise of mature faith, the primal promise that intends our good. This recognition also returned me to a promise I had made with life and knew how to keep. It was a promise I knew and renewed for me, by me, and then the promise was kept. Home in the universe, held in my incompleteness. That was the return knowing that worked for me. You may have others where that adult, mature, promised being works for you. What moment works for you? In the moment, I didn't think much beyond wait, you know how to parent. Be that good parent to yourself. And with that thought, that simple thought, I settled in. I pulled it together. I tucked myself in and went to sleep. Safe and warm and cozy. That's quite a shift from where I was. Forgiven. More secure in my promises. And at home, in my bed, and at home in the universe. Let's listen again to Mary Oliver's poem from this morning's reading. Broken, unbroken, the lonely stand in the dark corners of their hearts. I have seen them in cities and in my own neighborhood. in my own bedroom, nor could I touch them with the magic that they crave to be unbroken. Then I myself, lonely, said hello to good fortune. Someone came along and lingered, and little by little became everything that makes the difference. Oh, I wish such good luck to everyone. How beautiful it is to be unbroken. I sat with me, renewed my promise, and unbroke myself. Not as an individual, but as a part of something more. A larger promise and forgiveness that was participating through me. At home in the universe, it's yours too. What did she say? Become everything that makes the difference. Become everything that makes the difference. A promise. Now, go out. Venture forth outside the door of home into life and love, for life and love, knowing that you can return and tuck yourself in.